The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We're off and running a couple minutes late. The stream went down right before the show, so at least it happened beforehand. However, the show will be a couple minutes shorter than usual, so sorry to disappoint. Well, there certainly is plenty of material each day about media malpractice and left-wing propaganda. But one thing that you can say, with particularly with this current administration in the White House, is that at least there is pushback. There is some pushback coming from this administration. This president yesterday calling out these enemies of truth. We have lots of sound bites from President Trump, by the way, mostly because he's just so accessible. He's stopping to talk to reporters. Everywhere he goes, he's sitting down with Laura Ingraham. He's meeting up with the pool of reporters at Andrews Air Force Base before he takes off to Wisconsin. He gets to Wisconsin. He walks the streets. He has a press conference together with Bill Barr. And everywhere, every step along the way, he's opening it up to questions. And the press, of course, these reporters that absolutely hate him, they certainly can't be complaining about his accessibility. They can ask him anything, anytime. And you compare that with Joe Biden's big speech on Monday, the one in the warehouse. If you've seen the picture, I think four or five reporters and then one camera. He got out of the basement, flew to Pittsburgh. He went from Delaware to Pittsburgh to show up for this. Then he takes no questions from the reporters. And no wonder there's only a few reporters there. They don't get any action. Can't ask a question before, can't ask a question after. The speech is 12 minutes. What a contrast. What a contrast. Anyway, back to the left-wing media and their Trump derangement. Yesterday, CNN's Brian Stelter, he made the mistake of going on C-SPAN to talk about the media with the C-SPAN callers, and he wasn't exactly stepping into friendly territory. One caller just absolutely lowered the boom on Stelter, saying that CNN is the enemy of the truth. And he says, you people, you keep track of all the supposed lies of President Trump. Well, I've been keeping my own tally coming from CNN. And he pointed out the fact that this organization defamed a child, a 17-year-old. And that child, together with a hotshot lawyer, took him to court and won a huge settlement after they slandered him. They smeared his name, his character. So this caller is pointing out to Mr. Stelter, saying, look, what you're doing is dividing the nation. All of these lies and distortions. You're dividing America. You're not bringing America together. In fact, you're an enemy. You're an enemy of the state. Well, he didn't use that word like Nancy Pelosi. But he said, you're certainly an enemy of the truth. Stelter, in his response, he referred to the process of radicalization in America and the unprecedented levels of media bashing. So, of course, it gets back to Donald Trump. He's the reason. He's the reason for this climate. It's all Donald Trump's fault. Now, he did, Brian Stelter, he did admit that there's lots of journalists in New York and Washington, D.C. in particular that are liberal in their leaning. They just, you know, they might lean a little bit to the left. But as he went on to explain, that's why you have the mainstream newsrooms, because the newsrooms are structured And he said this without smiling. He said this without a wink wink. He said the newsrooms are structured so that it eliminates bias. He did say, though on occasion, some bias might seep into the news coverage. So in his mind, the mainstream newsroom is structured to keep bias out. But then he went on to answer this caller's charge about being an enemy of the truth. And here's what Mr. Stelter went on to say, clip 15.
I think it's different to talk about things as if they're enemies. No American is an enemy of another American. No news outlet is an enemy of America.
No American is an enemy of another American. And no, certainly no news outlet is an enemy of America. Now, just last week, Nancy Pelosi, she's the Speaker of the House. And she said that they take an oath when they come into their offices to protect the Constitution, to protect and defend the Constitution from enemies, even domestic enemies. And enemy number one in her mind is President Trump. He's in the White House. And she lumped in the Republicans right there with him. Enemies, as she said, enemies of the state. Now, I'm just guessing because I don't watch a lot of Brian Stelter's show. Hardly any. I just see a clip here and there. But I'm just guessing that he didn't call her out on that. Those inflammatory remarks. No American is an enemy of another American. That's what he said in response to that caller. So the way they see it, I mean, there's nobody. Certainly, they're not an enemy of anyone. And then almost in the very same breath, President Trump is an enemy of the state. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, she made some news yesterday because she went into the hair salon in California. And these are salons that are supposed to be closed, right? It's a lockdown. She didn't even have a mask on, I don't think. So she goes, she ventures out. She can do this because she's one of the elites. Everybody else, they've got to hunker down. Everybody else, they've got to hole up. She goes out and has another Marie Antoinette moment, just like with all of the ice cream, freezer after freezer after freezer in the kitchen. And she happily brings the cameras in. Look at my stockpile. Look at my stockpile of goodies. These are hypocrites who say one thing and they do another. And their thinking is in perfect alignment with all the talking heads on the major news networks. All of them. Hypocrites that say one thing and they do another. They're like the Pharisees that Christ encountered. And remember, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say?" You're just pretending. Elsewhere, Christ said that our righteousness, it better exceed that of the hypocrites, the Pharisees, known for their hypocrisy. Chris Cuomo, he's a commentator on CNN, and there was a secretive tape recording that came out yesterday where he said to, what's that former lawyer? Cohen, yeah, that's right. He's in a conversation with Cohen, the one that went to jail for fraud and other things. And he's telling him that basically, I don't trust the media. He's in the media. And evidently, media types are coming up to him, asking him about rumors and sexual harassment claims or whatever else. And Cuomo's telling Cohen, I don't trust the media. Now, he gets in front of the camera, and of course, he fancies himself as one who champions the truth. You can take what I say to the bank. What I give to you is it's the final say. You can trust me. Even as he says, when the cameras are off, I don't trust them. I don't trust the media. How could you? Have we ever been, what was it that the Federalist, someone at the Federalist said, I've never seen any news cycle as dishonest as this one in my life. Not even close. It's not even close. CNN's Joe Lockhart, he said yesterday that President Trump had suffered from a bunch of mini strokes. This according to, I guess, some guy's book as well. He went into the hospital one Saturday. He was in there for a short amount of time. And CNN is saying, well, it's because he had a bunch of strokes. This was one of their tweets. CNN said Vice President Mike Pence was put on standby to temporarily assume the powers of the presidency during President Trump's unannounced visit to Walter Reed Hospital in November of 2019. So a year ago, he's had all these debilitating strokes, I guess. This is someone, as I say, he stops in front of the pool of reporters everywhere that he goes. He has meetings. He's out in the public eye. He will talk at a press conference for hours sometimes. Certainly does it at rallies. 70-minute speech the other night at the end of the RNC. This is not what you would expect of a stroke victim. So the president comes out and says, more fake news. His doctors deny it. And yet it's all over the news this week. It's all over Drudge. And it's all fake. It's all fake. Listen to this from the New York Times. As right-wing groups increasingly move to confront protesters in U.S. cities, demonstrators are assessing how to keep themselves safe. The demonstrators, they're worried about their safety. These demonstrators, they just targeted a Trump supporter in Portland, shot him in the chest, killed him in the streets. And according to the New York Times, in their delusional reporting, these same demonstrators are now concerned about what? Right-wing groups. As if the violence that's been going on these past several months has been peaceful. Well, that's what they say. That's how they cover it. It doesn't turn violent until a Trump supporter shows up with the American flag. Then it's dangerous. Then it's violent. All these reporters, all week long, this week, as I say, he's very accessible. Every single one of them. The president's there denouncing Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and so on. And to a man, every one of them. Now, you said that about Antifa. What about your supporters? Right? What about your supporters? What do you say to them? Reuters. It says, President Trump has responded to the nationwide protests over George Floyd's death by focusing on law and order and urging a militaristic response. On the other hand, Joe Biden has resisted activist calls to defund the police. Biden's done everything perfectly. And President Trump, he's militaristic. That's what prompted the Federalists to say, you know, where do you even start with this? There's so many lies to unpack here. Well, we can start by going to Colossians 2. Verse 18, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels or demons, as it should read, intruding into those things which he has seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. I've been spending a fair bit of time the last couple of weeks. The students are probably a little bit weary with the subject. Coming back to this subject of Lucifer and his heart being lifted up and how he wanted to ascend above even God's throne. He was so impressed with his beauty, with his skill, with his aptitudes, all of his talent, his musical strengths. His heart was lifted up, it says in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He was filled with himself, self-love. He couldn't get enough of himself. It says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Will worship, that's what we're seeing here. People, as my father wrote back in, I think, May, June, in the trumpet, These people that are impervious to truth. They have their truth. This is their truth, what they're saying. Sure, he had many strokes, quite a few of them, back in 2019. He's not well. He's unstable. And it's dangerous on the streets, not because of Antifa or BLM. It's because of right-wing groups. And on it goes. Satan is just, he has just stirred up anger and wrath. And then together with it, the lies and the deception and the cover-up. And this is what the president is calling out yesterday. You people, he says to the pool of reporters, you're primarily responsible. You're more responsible for this than the politicians because you won't tell the truth. You're doing a disservice to your country. Well, in doing so, Satan and the radical left, I think, as we've noted before, they've overplayed their hand. They're so deranged. They're so deranged. And the general public, like that caller that called into C-SPAN, he sees how that they're twisting and distorting what the president says or doesn't say. He and others like him, they see that these riots are exactly that. They're not peaceful. Try telling that to the shop owners in Kenosha as they sift through the rubble, looking for any personal items that are meaningful to them. They lined the streets, by the way. According to the White House press spokesman, this is something they would never, never report on CNN. For 15 miles, the president's motorcade, as it approached Kenosha, the streets lined with supporters. Now, the governor didn't want him to come in, the president, that is, but a lot of people did, evidently, judging by the scenes that you didn't see. For miles and miles and miles. Support for this president, even when we see so much in the way of deception, lies, dishonesty, will worship. Will worship. Here's what my father wrote in that May trumpet. He talks, well, to paraphrase here, he talks about all the journalists that would swoon before Barack Obama. And these same people, they see anything and everything President Trump does as proof. Proof of corruption and evil. Here they are manufacturing all of this, these criminal accusations. It started with Russia, but it's just continued from one subject to the next. My father says, we must be concerned about this. Without a free and truthful media, a republic cannot survive. That's the seriousness of it. You've got the seeds of civil war that's been planted. And in truth, so many of these powerful voices in the media, they want it. They want it. And now they're beginning to change their tune a little bit, saying that it's here. They're almost, you can feel the excitement. It's nearly here. Oh, but just so you know, it's President Trump's fault. He's the one that wants a war. He's the one that's inciting violence. It says radical Democrats are demonstrating that there is virtually no limit to what they will do to attack the president and undermine the last election. And the next one, he says. Few media outlets today are covering the radical left's relentless efforts to tear down the system. Instead, they're obsessed with falsehoods about how Mr. Trump works for Mr. Putin. They're trying to tear down the system. And they can't even bring themselves to mention the name Antifa or BLM. Or if they do say Black Lives Matter, it's that you better be supportive. Never mind what their mission statement says about the family. I don't even know where these individuals were, four Trump supporters, these big, muscular black fellas that had their MAGA hats on. They were talking about Antifa and BLM and what their aim is, their Marxist agenda, and how they want to destroy the family and how they want to destroy the role of the fathers. good for those gentlemen to speak out. Is that going to be featured on Chris Cuomo's show tonight? No, of course not. They won't show that. They won't show the 15 miles. They won't show the victims in Kenosha. They won't tell you what's happening in Portland. The mayor's apartment, they've tried to burn down the apartment of the mayor. This same mayor that refuses any federal help and says that all of the violence in Portland is President Trump's fault. Here they're circling around his apartment complex, of all things, threatening to burn it down. Well, the president had a little bit to say about him as well. We'll see if we have time to get to all these clips. But it says here, few media outlets, well, further on, I read that. It says, this movement is lawless beyond words to describe. It's worshiping the will and ushering in a dangerous new age of magic interpretation. And this will worship philosophy is consuming the nation. Where will this lead? Most people don't realize it, but it will soon become painfully clear that it's leading to unparalleled suffering if we don't wake up. My father says, we don't like to think about this, but we must. We've got to think about this. The type of revolution the radical left is promoting usually causes millions to spill their blood. See, they're promoting it. And you're hearing more conservative commentators talk about this today, inciting it, fomenting it, and such. You heard about the trumpet, or you heard from the trumpet, years ago. And more recently, this May issue of the trumpet. They're promoting it. They are out there, these forces, these radical evil forces from the Marxist infiltration, they're actively promoting violence. And where does this lead? Well, as we've noted before, my father wrote back in 2018 about how that this momentum of the radical left, it was marching forward for 8 years, virtually unchecked. And then along comes Donald Trump, and he's proven himself to be someone who will stand up to the mob, to stand where others have not, as my father said. Here is the president yesterday at Andrews Air Force Base, again, right in front of this pool of reporters, clip 8.
These are anarchists, these are agitators, they're rioters, they're looters, they're bad people, they're burning down Portland, and you take a look at that, you take a look at the scenes last night, and then the fake news media will say that they're friendly protesters. Because you people, I tell you, if we only had an honest press in this country, it would be much more advanced, but we have a very dishonest press.
That's the president giving the media, right there in front of him, a total smackdown. And they deserve it. They deserve it. And who else does this? Who else does this? He's there saying, you people ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Out there calling them friendly protesters? If only we had an honest press. If only we had a press that told the truth. If only we had a press that wasn't the enemy of the truth. You people are lying, he said. They are, as that caller correctly noted yesterday. They are the enemies of the truth. Listen to these protesters. And this is Oakland, California. So it's, you know, New York, Chicago, Kenosha, of course, Seattle, Portland. Here they are in Oakland. Clip 1. It's not as big or as loud as I'm sure it soon will be. Maybe not as violent yet as it has been in Portland. But there are the protesters, quote unquote, chanting, in case you couldn't hear it, death to America. Death to America. This does not shock Brian Stelter. This will not be headlined on Chris Cuomo's show. They encourage, these are Joe Biden supporters. That's the truth of it. chanting, not in Tehran, in Oakland, death to America. That's right, death to America. And yet, we're supposed to think, I guess, that both sides, there's some truth on both sides. There's some evil on both sides. There's only one administration, really, that's calling them out, taking a stand where others simply have not. And if you had an honest press, they would be out there telling you what this mob is doing, what this mob is saying. They would be pointing out the rap sheets of so many of these ringleaders that are destroying the stores, that are taking bricks and bashing people in the back of the head, that are pulling out guns and saying, here, we've got a couple Trump supporters, shoot them. Here's President Trump again yesterday at Andrews Air Force Base, clip 7.
I saw last night where these radical anarchists were trying to get into the mayor's house, and lots of bad things were happening to this poor, foolish, very stupid mayor. I mean, how he could be mayor, I have no idea. But all he has to do is call, and within 10 minutes, their problem will be over.
Taking a stand where others will not. What a poor, foolish mayor whose apartment building is surrounded by the mob. They tried to burn it down. And this mayor, he stands by these left-wing radicals destroying his city. He talks about his family and his children. I've raised my children in Portland. Well, if that's so, what an embarrassment he is. Because it's happened under his watch. And he won't take help from the president because he hates the president. Because he's blinded by ideology. And so people want to get out of these cities. There was a story in the New York Post today. After 6 of the most trying months in modern city history, nearly half of New Yorkers say that the Big Apple is heading in the wrong direction, with worries about the economy and crime listed as top concerns. Yeah, their left-wing leadership. They locked it down, and then they turned over the streets to the mob. And so you have half the residents in New York, a deep, dark, blue city that believe the city's going in the wrong direction. No wonder the Democrats are so concerned about the November election, so much so that they're talking about voter fraud as their only option, their only chance. Here again is President Trump at Andrews Air Force Base, clip 9.
When I watched that scene last night with all of those really horrible people outside of the mayor's house, I also saw the way they shot the young gentleman in the street. He was targeted. They targeted him. They shot him in the street, and then they were so happy and he died. You don't mention that. You mentioned somebody sprayed paint at somebody from the other side. They shot a man in the street. They executed a man in the street, a religious man. In the street, and you don't mention, it's not even a story. You talk about other things. The press should be ashamed of themselves. I think the press is actually, the media is what's fueling this, more so than even Biden, because Biden doesn't know he's alive. The press is really fueling this, and they're fueling it horribly, and you're doing a great disservice to your country.
That's President Trump, right in front of the reporters, just as I say, smacking them down, putting them in their place, enemies of the people, enemies of the truth. There's things just vile, violent, heart-wrenching acts of violence, and they don't even mention it. It's not even a story. He says the media is fueling this. The media is leading the charge in this revolution. The media is leading the attack against the institutions of the United States of America. It's the media intent on bringing down the system. This is what they want. He moved up to Kenosha. As I said, he visited the city of Kenosha, just devastated, in ruin. after 3-4 days of rioting without any police presence to speak of. He had the walkthrough, and then he has the press conference alongside Bill Barr. And here's what he said at the press conference, clip 14.
Some people thought it would be a good thing for me to come, a bad thing. I just wanted to come. I really came today to thank law enforcement and to just really that what you've done has been incredible. It's been really inspiring because you see it happening all over, and it just never seems to end. And it never seems to end because it's almost as though they don't want it to end.
It's almost as though they don't want it to end. It's almost as though they want the violence to continue. What was it Kamala Harris said last week? Well, I guess it was back in June. We played the clip last week. This was after Minneapolis went up in flames. And she says they're not going to stop. These rioters, they're not going to stop. I think she said it 7 times, didn't she? It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. It'll continue up to the election. It'll continue after the election. That's Vice President Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris. Everyone had better beware, she said. She's warning America about race wars. She's warning America about more rioting to come. So that's what they're left with. Destroy. Destruction is in their paths. And then they're, as I say, openly announcing that, you know, we're going to have to really harvest as many ballots as possible in November because it's looking like a landslide at the moment for President Trump. Axios had a story yesterday saying a top Democratic data and analytics firm told Axios on HBO it's highly likely that President Trump will appear to have won potentially in a landslide on election night, even if he ultimately loses when all the votes are counted. Remember, Hillary Clinton said, "Don't you concede, Joe Biden. Don't you concede. We'll even if you're way behind on November 3rd, we can try to find ballots. We've got a lot of ballots going out. Millions and millions of them." So here comes Axios, another left-wing site. And listen to the guy. This is like out of Neil Ferguson's mind. He's got his models. He's got everything sorted out. The millions of ballots going out. The Trump supporters evidently are going to show up on election day at the polling booths. But the Biden supporters, well, they're hunkering down in fear, except for Nancy Pelosi. They're hunkering down because of the virus. So they'll send in the ballots. And that's how we'll miraculously win. Not on November 3rd, maybe November 22nd, maybe December 15th. I don't know, maybe January 7th. Maybe even not until after the inauguration. What happens then? Here's the brainchild behind this model for the election, clip 2.
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. We are sounding an alarm and saying that this is a very real possibility, that the data is going to show on election night an incredible victory for Donald Trump.
Interesting that he uses the term sounding the alarm, that on election night, It could look as though it's an incredible victory for Donald Trump, but we are sounding the alarm. What does that mean? Well, that's a signal. That's a signal that, hey, we've got to get as much harvested as we can because right now we're way behind. We're way behind. It turns out that a lot of Americans are angry at what's happening in the streets. They're angry at the way that this is not being covered or reported. And they're preparing to vote for safety, for law and order. So here comes this left-wing modeler saying that, look, if he wins in a landslide or it looks like that on November 3rd, just wait around, be patient. and let those mysterious ballots roll in. Listen to clip three.
When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after Election Day, it will in fact show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not when every ballot gets counted.
Translation, we'll go ahead and concede that he's going to win on November 3rd, but we'll try to figure out a way to overturn it. Does this sound familiar, any of this? We'll figure out a way to overturn the results of the election. This is something they've been trying for 4 years. They've tried to overturn the last one, and they are actively trying to overturn this one. They're not even trying to conceal it so much. Oh, they'll make some adjustments if the polls say that, look, you better be careful here. But here they come now with the plan for voter fraud. And the president, of course, he's been on this from the beginning. This is what he said in his sit down with Laura Ingraham, clip four.
President, the biggest risk we have, I have to say, is this whole crazy thing where they're sending out 80 million ballots to people that don't even know what a ballot is. They're getting them. They're sending them all over.
Applications for
voting.
Who's
sending them? Where are they sending them? They're sending 80 million ballots to everybody. And there's tremendous cheating going to go on, as sure as you're sitting there. And all you have to do is look at the recent races that happened. It's the single biggest problem that there is.
Yeah, there have been races, even recently, in congressional districts and such, where there's just been rampant voter fraud because of the mail-in ballots system. So this is the last hope that they have, sending out millions and millions of ballots. But you have to wonder, as my father, you know, he's talked about God setting a trap for this satanic movement. And I mentioned earlier about the devil overplaying his hand. This was from Andrew Roberts at the Telegraph today. He hasn't been canceled yet. Has Andrew Roberts been canceled? He's still around. Good for him. He's a good historian. One wonders when he'll say one thing that's wrong, and that'll be the end of it. Canceled, erased, deleted. He's a historian, after all. He's written some wonderful histories. He says at the Telegraph, the left-wing rioters who are about to usher in a Donald Trump victory are treading a well-worn path. There is no more ironclad rule in history than the law of unintended consequences, by which people hoping to achieve one thing wind up setting off a sequence of events that leads to precisely the opposite. The boomerang effect, he goes on to say. They set out to achieve one thing with this, and it backfires, spectacularly so. What kind of derangement lays out a plan to destroy the cities of America and think that this is a winning strategy for November? Roberts says sometimes these are unforeseeable, but in the present, anarchist uprisings taking place across urban America, led by people bitterly opposed to Donald Trump, it is entirely foreseeable that they might lead to the re-election of the very person they most loathe. The principle of the boomerang, he goes on to quote Winston Churchill. Robert says, if the liberal left in America continues to describe the nightly riots, which have recently turned murderous, as mostly peaceful incidents that turn violent, they will face the wrath of voters who despise Trump personally but are willing to support him if he will protect their physical security. The boomerang effect, the principle of the boomerang. And so here is the president, even against the protests of governors, flying into Wisconsin, touring through Kenosha, sitting down in front of reporters, and calling the reporters out. You're being dishonest. You really are doing a disservice to your country. Here's what he said again from this press conference in Kenosha about the reckless far-left politicians. Clip 5.
To stop the political violence, we must also confront the radical ideology that includes this violence. Reckless far-left politicians continue to push the destructive message that our nation and our law enforcement are oppressive or racist. They'll throw out any word that comes to them. Actually, we must give far greater support to our law enforcement. It's all about giving them additional support. These are great people. These are great, great people. These are brave people. They're fighting to save people that they never met before in many cases. And they're incredible. We must really be thankful that we have them, and we have to help them do their jobs.
That right there is why this president has the support of just about every law enforcement agency in the United States. They're brave people, he says. Something you would think every American would say. They're brave people. They're risking their lives. They're risking their lives for people in most cases that they don't even know. White, black, brown, yellow. They don't even know. We need to support them, he says. There was a story coming out of Chicago just today. The FBI warns that gangs, I think it said 36 gangs in Chicago. That's just mind-boggling to think that there are that many gangs in Chicago roaming the streets, shooting little children in cribs, drive-by shootings. Happens every weekend. Dozens and dozens of shootings, 5-10 deaths, murders, every single week. The FBI warns that gangs may be targeting Chicago police officers. If they see a police officer even get close to pulling that gun out in order to protect the community, well, you've got to take out that man in blue. Take him out! That's the word on the street. That's the word coming from the gangs. 36 gangs in Chicago. Here's the president, again, echoing the sentiment, no doubt, of a large majority of Americans, just ordinary Americans. Clip 6.
I think a lot of people are looking at what's happening to these Democrat-run cities, and they're disgusted. They see what's going on, and they can't believe this is taking place in our country. I can't believe it either.
He can't believe it. A lot of people can't believe it. They're looking at what's happening, and they're just disgusted by it. It's astounding, really, that this administration is able to go forward with, well, the kind of positive energy that you saw at the Republican National Convention just last week. All of this hate, all of this division, all of this incitement of rioting and civil war. And here is a Jeroboam-like figure just going forward with his agenda, supporting law enforcement, upholding as best he can the rule of law, heading into Kenosha with his attorney general, the chief law enforcement agent in the land. He was asked, by the way, the president was, in that sit-down with Laura Ingraham about whether or not he still has fun. And this is how the president responded, clip 10.
Mr. President, are you still having fun doing this
job? I'm having a good time because we're doing a job like just about nobody else has ever done. And I said it before, I'll say it again. And nobody even challenges me on it. This administration, despite all of the fake Russia, and hoaxes and impeachments, we've done more in this administration than any president in the history of our country.
2 Kings 14, pretty amazing story. Pretty amazing times that we're living through right here in the last end, right here in the days just before the return of Christ to this earth. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some listener feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
Come on.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. Don't forget to visit our website at thetrumpet.com. Every day, thetrumpet.com will help you understand your world by analyzing today's headlines under the clear light of Bible prophecy. Log on to thetrumpet.com and sign up for our daily Trumpet Brief email and subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is The Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Quite a few emails over the last few days. One says, thank you for the news. I'm a member of the United Church of God, and my mom and I always do enjoy your news and prophecy. So that's someone coming in from, or listening in rather, from the UCG. Another one here says, I missed the show this morning, but I'm watching it now. Love this. I assume they're referring to the YouTube stream, which you can get to, of course, anytime after the live broadcast. And then this one here says, I just watched your program showing the riots in Kenosha. If some of those so-called news reporters had one of these riots happen near their home, I believe they would quit calling them peaceful demonstrations. This woman says, I have 4 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren and live in Grays Lake, Illinois, which is about 20 minutes from Kenosha. This rioting is not happening in the bad areas of Chicago, but in a very nice suburb located about 1 hour north of downtown Chicago. She says here, I'm 91 years old and have lived to see my beautiful country that I grew up in become so evil. I've just finished a journal of my life to give to all my great-grandchildren, as I want them to realize what a wonderful country this was before people decided to destroy it. It's a touching response there, or some feedback there. She says, finally, I love your program. So that comes from one of our 91-year-old listeners. Another one here, it says, I'm writing to you from the Grain Belt in Canada, where we are in full harvest mode. Yesterday, I decided to try to get caught up on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show and ended up listening to 5 programs consecutively. It was great. While sitting in a combine for multiple hours can be boring, programs like yours really help pass the time with purpose. As I listened, this thought kept going through my mind. I'm sitting in a 750,000-dollar machine, harvesting to help feed the world, listening to a radio show that is also helping in a harvest that will truly feed the world. That's awesome, he says. I also appreciate your bird stories. The magpie one was particularly funny to me because we battle them here every year. Did you know that a group of magpies are called a parliament? There you go. While harvesting, we get to see a lot of nature. Hawks are plentiful, and they know it's their opportunity, and so we see them swooping regularly. The ravens also know it's an opportunity for them, and so they let the hawks do the work and then gang up and steal away their meal. It's a cruel world, even in the nature around us. At the same time, it's an awesome creation to be able to watch. Have a wonderful day, it says, and I think I'll try to binge listen more often. So that comes from someone who listened to 5 programs in a row. Wow. Another one here says, awesome message. Thanks for speaking the whole truth. There's no hope in looking to any of our politicians, but as you so clearly say, there is only hope in God. Another one writes, one of your most powerful programs, I forget which one this was in response to, I think maybe late last week. It says, every American needs to hear and heed this God-inspired message and repent of our personal and national sins. We support you 100%. Another one here from Australia. It says, thank you for showing some details about New Zealand and Australia. I'm from New Zealand and had my two children in Queensland, Australia. If you don't get your children vaccinated there, they are not allowed to go to school or daycare. Also, they will cut off your benefits. To me, this is basically mandating vaccines, so I know how they will be when there's a COVID vaccine available. It says, the drones, I remember you showing clips of them here in the UK following people walking their dog far away from their home. It's just ridiculous. A lot of people abiding by the draconian measures. Could it be mass manipulation by the media? It's not normal. Police showing up at houses because their neighbors have called them, said they left the house to get food after returning from Spain. It's not made sense from the start. And as you've shown, it is not hard to do the basic research and work out the facts for yourselves in regards to mortality rates, cases, total deaths. Where will the line be drawn? Masks for little children? Just no thank you. It says, I pray for God to protect our children in particular. Thank you for giving the truth. Another one here from down under. It says, anyway, I go to bed with the trumpet. I wake up with the trumpet. I think you're awesome. I absolutely feel so blessed. The Lord directed me your way, having rebelled in anger many years ago, both at school and church, after a huge loss of my grandmother, my savior from volatile parents. Even though I never knew it, the Lord never left me, even though I left him. It says, anyway, there is so much more to this, but I had to say thank you so much for your shows. I love God, and I truly believe he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Another one here writes, God bless you and your father, and thank you. Thank you so very much for being with me each day, and praise the Eternal, for he is coming. He is alive. Another one here says, thank you and your staff for a truly on-point program today. I couldn't agree with you more on the arrogance and utter idiocy of our political leaders. Once again, you're right on target with what's happening right now. God is truly inspiring you all to warn Israel and the world. And then one final one here. This comes from Newfoundland. It has a population of 550,000, by the way. It says here, since the coronavirus first began, our town of just over 2,000 people in central Newfoundland, we had 3 cases, which have since been cleared, all the cases recovered, okay? So virtually non-existent, the virus in this large territory. It says, it was a family, these are the cases involved, it was a family, a 29-year-old father, 25-year-old mother, and a 1-year-old daughter. The father had traveled to Ontario for work. And then upon returning home, he later came down with fever and was tested positive. Then his daughter tested positive, and then the mother also. No other close family and friends got infected, and all 3 were fully recovered with no complications. There have been no new cases since. It has been almost a month, and the only cases we had. It says that 2 elderly homes were both closed to visitors when word got out, but soon opened back up in a few days. Better to be safe than sorry. But now, it says, now, masks will be mandatory in all public areas as of August 24th, the entire province of Newfoundland. So there you go. We'll have to leave off with that one. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send us your comments, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.